Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT. Bandwidth for Net at Night is brought to you by AOL Radio at AOL.com/podcasting. This is Net at Night with Amber MacArthur and Leo Laporte. Episode 35 for September 25th, 2007.
Leave Leo alone.
Net at Night is brought to you by Audible. For your free audiobook and a whole lot more, visit audible.com/night, N-I-G-H-T. And don't forget your free chapter of the Chopin manuscript, available from audible.com/free chapter. Net at Night is taped before a live audience on talkshoe.com. It is 4 p.m. on the West Coast of the United States of America. It is 7 p.m. on the East Coast in Toronto. Well, that means it's 11 p.m. Universal Coordinated Time. It's time for Net at Night. I'm Leo Laporte from California. We lost Amber MacArthur. I was just talking to her seconds ago. It looks like it's going to be another great Net at Night episode. Oh, man. As M. Talio says in the talk show chat room, this is my first time. What am I doing wrong? M. Talio, this is not my first time. It's my 35th time, and I'm still doing it wrong. So I just, let me call Amber again, see if we can get her on the line. She's got Ustream up. Hey, Amber MacArthur.
Hello, Leo.
In beautiful Toronto, where you're getting one last Indian summer.
It's a wonderful day. It's been a beautiful weekend, and I wish it would last forever, but I fear the winter is coming.
It is. I know, that bitter cold Toronto winter.
I know. And you have those cool nights as well where you think, oh, you know, it was a beautiful sunny day, but then the breeze starts to come during the evening and you realize that winter is just around the corner.
Yep. What should we do today? I hadn't really thought about it.
Well, I sent you a gazillion links. I don't know if you got them.
I haven't gotten them yet, so that's good. All right, so I'll look at the links. There were a couple of things I wanted to talk about, and now I've forgotten. Oh, well, yesterday was One Web Day. Did you celebrate?
No, I didn't celebrate.
Did you even know?
I didn't know, but I remember it happening last year, and I can't believe that it just did not cross my radar.
I think because it's goofy. That could be why.
That might be the problem.
The problem is it's goofy. It's One Web Day is September 22nd. This is the second annual. The mission of OWD, this is according to Ars Technica, is simple and optimistic: to create, maintain, advance, and promote a global day to celebrate online life. You know what's wrong with this? I figured it out.
We celebrate online life every day.
We're online all the time. It's no big deal.
I would have to agree with you. I was just thinking today, because I sent you a bunch of links. I sent them to your Yahoo account.
Ah, that's why I don't have them.
That's,
okay.
Yeah, so maybe that's why you didn't get them.
I have to go to yahoo.com to get those.
I was thinking today, because I was looking for links, and there are so many great stories on the web. I was so excited about all this creativity that I was seeing. And I don't know if I need a special day for that. I think
it's
every day there's
the
something
time.
New and exciting.
Exactly. You know, you were probably following from Toronto. I was following it, even though it was 30 miles away, the TechCrunch 40.
Yes.
Which is Mike Arrington's, I think the first one was TechCrunch 20 last year. 40 new Web 2.0 companies. And I kind of got bit by it, I have to tell you.
Really?
Well, you know, the site that won the TechCrunch 40 award and the $50,000 prize was Mint.com.
Oh,
isn't
yes.
it beautiful? It's a gorgeous site, and I fell for it. I went there. It's minty fresh. It's delicious. It made me want to, you know, that's that Web 2.0 green we were talking about.
I know. Leo, we reviewed this on Call for Help a year or so ago, I think, and we were talking about it being kind of a fine example of Web 2.0, from the design to the colors to the rounded buttons and all that jazz.
But I guess they never really took off or went public, because this is now their debut, right? Or have they been around all this time?
I don't know, but I'm pretty sure that we have been there.
I know we have. I knew we had.
You know, I hate when that happens.
There's too many. Anyway, I looked at it. I said, oh, this is cool. It's refreshing money management, the free automatic online way to manage your money. And I thought, oh, it's trustee certified. I read the security thing. And all you have to do is just give them your logins to all of your bank accounts. And I started doing it. And I said, whoa, wait a minute.
Wow.
Hold on there.
And I fortunately, they only got my American Express card, but I realized, what am I doing? Now, I'm not saying they're not legitimate. I'm sure they are. Mike Arrington wouldn't have given them the award and the $50,000, and they were written up in all the newspapers. But is this a good idea?
I don't think that's a good idea. I you know, as comfortable as I am with banking and online banking and e-commerce, I don't think I want to kind of give it to a third-party Web 2.0 company.
Strangers. I'm giving strangers yes. all of this. And this just shows kind of, I don't know, am I a goofball? Am I stupid? Or am I just kind of falling for this Web 2.0 stuff? I don't know. I probably, had Mike Arrington not said, oh, this is great, I probably wouldn't have signed up for it. Oh, wait a minute, hold on. I've started all your videos. I've got to stop. Stop all the videos. Stop. All your links are video links. I have to change.
There's a lot.
I have to change the way YouTube's default is so that it doesn't start up. Okay.
That's a good idea. I couldn't hear anything. I thought you were just screaming because you were crazy for a bad second.
No, I clicked all your links. And you sure do have a lot of them.
And one of them involves a scream, but we'll get to that later. So I can understand you being frightened.
The last time we talked about a scream, it was for that movie, Little Children.
Yes.
Was it Little Children?
Children of Men.
Children of Men, which I finally saw, and I couldn't find the scream. But what a great movie that was.
Oh, I found, you know where the scream is. I'm embarrassed to say that I found it. And that's one of the reasons I went to the movie was after Ned at Night when we were talking about the scream.
Right.
So it's a scream that it was up on Creative Commons, if I remember. And it was the first time a major Hollywood movie had used a CC licensed piece of audio like that, especially a scream in their movie. And it's in the part of the movie of Children and Men when he's gone to the house where I think it's his stepfather who lives there or his father.
Right.
And he's in the house with his father, and his father's kind of experimenting, or stepfather's experimenting with drugs, and they kind of talk about marijuana. And then at one point he puts some type of music on, I think.
Yes.
And then the scream is somewhere in that space of time.
Wow. All right.
Sorry.
Well, no, I love the movie so much I got the HD version of it, and I'll have to go back and watch it. I remember you said when you went to that movie that really you the main thing you were looking for was that scream.
I know. What does this mean, Leo?
That's pretty funny. Anyway, so we have another scream. We're back with this more screams.
Yeah, we'll get to that a little bit later. So we can start at the top of the list of links. I have a lot again.
I love it. You go, girl. You do that link thing. I love it. So we're going to start with Halo Addiction Rap Song because you know what Tuesday is.
Tuesday is the Halo 3 launch.
I'm going to be waiting in line at midnight.
So am I, in Toronto on Dundas Street at the Best Buy. So
there's a big difference. You're going to be there with the camera crew working. I'm going to actually be waiting in line to get the game.
I know, you're right, because Snowball emailed me. You remember Snowball, our intern, at Call for Help, and he said, are you going to be there? Maybe we can hang out. And I said, I will be there. The first part is correct. As for the hanging out, that probably won't happen.
Because I'd be working. Exactly. It is a big story. So they're doing that also in Toronto. They're doing it, I guess, probably all over the world. I don't know. I was excited about Harry Potter 7. I was excited about the iPhone. I don't know if I'm that excited about a video game.
I know, I'm not that excited about the video game either, but I sent you some information from an article in the Toronto Star, and they talk about Halo 3 by the numbers. And when you actually see the numbers in terms of the estimated dollar value of the Halo franchise is $1 billion US, and there were, I think, 820,000 people who were beta testers for Halo 3 this year.
Wow.
You start to look at these enormous numbers, and then you realize, you may not be that interested in the game launching, but you still have to pay some attention because obviously this is huge in a certain among a certain group of people.
Well, remember, it's like $60. I don't know what it costs in Canada, but $60 here.
Almost the same now, Leo.
Yeah, I know. Your guys are exactly the same, although you still pay that very frustrating, exchange penalty, even though the loonie and the dollar are on par.
I know. It's craziness.
$60 times they expect to sell 4 million units in the first 2 months. That's amazing.
It's unbelievable.
$240 million.
There's 500 retailers in Canada that are opening up at midnight. And in the U.S., there are 10,000 retailers. So a lot bigger market down there.
This is my favorite stat, though. This is from the Star. Is it the Star?
Yeah, the Toronto Star.
20,000 pounds of pizza consumed by the Bungie designers making the game.
Over 3 years.
Oh, okay. Well, that's different. 20,000 pounds. That's 10,000. What is that? 10 tons of pizza.
That's a lot. I like pizza, but that's a little extreme.
All right. Let's play the Halo Addiction rap song.
I hope there's no swearing in it. I played most of it. I hope there isn't.
There's okay, let the swearing begin.
Nice.
Wait a minute. I gotta. Wait a minute. How you can't rewind this?
Web video.
Oh, I'm in the advertisement. They won't let you rewind the advertisement.
How does this work? You just feel my pulse.
So it's like they've never been touched before.
Family Guy.
Volume 5.
Oh yes, the Family Guy.
Do you watch the Family Guy?
You know, I've watched it a few times because my brothers have forced me to.
I love it. It's a boy thing. Maybe it's a boy thing.
I don't know. I get so hooked on series that if I start watching it and get into it, I feel as though my life will be over. So I try to stay away.
Here it is, ladies and gentlemen, Halo Knights. Now you gotta understand that the beat, the rhythm, is this guy's girlfriend hitting him because he's zoned out on Halo 3.
Back on a finish the fight, Team Tiger on a Halo night.
We're back in here forever. Yeah,
I've got the plug gun in for me. Covenant won't let me be.
I can't believe
this poor woman. None of the guys are paying attention to her. Also turned on to Halo 3. Wait a minute, there's Master Chief in the bar.
I know. He's dancing with the little woman.
He's toasting her. Oh, dear. You know, this is very well produced, I gotta say.
I know. It's on the site superdeluxe.com is where a friend of mine had emailed it to me. But it's very well produced. I don't find the song as catchy as I think some of the other songs I've seen out there in terms of web videos kind of trying to promote certain games or TV shows or whatever it might be. But they did it. As far as the video itself, it's very well produced, and it's kind of fun.
There's a lot of production value in it. But you're right,
really,
the song just kind of plods along.
I know. It reminds me of a Weird Al song. As soon as I heard it, I just thought of Weird Al, you know?
Yeah.
It's like it was a parody of another song, but the other song was never popular. That's the only difference. Does that make sense?
Yes, exactly. It's a parody of a song that never hit the charts.
So is it still a parody? I don't know.
I don't know. I know you've been following the Britney video. In fact, you've got a parody of it. Let me play if there's anybody who hasn't seen it, let me play just a little bit of this for you. Wait a minute. Is this the one?
Leave Britney Spears alone right now.
Anyway,
I mean it.
This is a crazy Britney fan who is just really upset. And for some reason, she seems to be under a blanket.
It's a he, actually.
It's a he?
I think. Yeah, I think it's a he. If you're Chris, I can't remember what his last name is, but it's a he. He looks like a she, but as far as I know, it's a he from what I've read online. And the video has been viewed millions and millions of times, and he or she is begging for people to stop harassing Britney. And the funniest thing about this video is that a bunch of people have created O.J. Simpson videos saying, "Leave O.J. alone." And so they've done a parody of a video that was a real video from a fan. I don't know. It's getting confusing now.
Justine Azarek did a very funny, "Leave Steve Jobs alone." It was an almost perfect parody of it. So
oh,
this
that's
is a
great
guy, but isn't he wearing, all right, he looks like he's wearing lipstick.
Not judging. I think his name, everywhere I see the name is Chris. So maybe it's
Chris Crocker.
Chris,
could be Christy.
Yeah.
You know,
be,
my wife looked at it, the first thing she said is transsexual. So who knows?
Yeah, I think she might be right.
Yeah,
it's possible.
There's something going on there. But she really clearly loves, she or he loves Britney.
Yes, and is supporting Britney. And
did you see, I didn't see the Video Music Awards, so I had to go onto YouTube. And this is the beauty of YouTube. If you miss something, you don't really miss it.
No.
Because you can always go and see it. Even though Viacom pulls it down 5,000 times, there's always the 5,001st person who's going to put it back up.
That's why I like the site kingnutter.com, because they put up videos that have been taken down from YouTube.
Oh. They don't care, I guess.
They don't care, and they always put them back up. But this is another reason I would never waste 3 hours of my life watching an award show, because the best stuff is going to be on the web in 3 minutes the next day.
And I got to say, Britney was god-awful.
You know, but the thing is, when was Britney ever good? This is what I always wonder.
Good point. Good point. You know, well taken. No, you're right.
Britney was terrible. She's always been terrible. But she sang a song called "Oops, I Did It Again" in like a red leather cat suit. You know, she's not exactly a model of.
She used to be able to dance a little bit, though.
That's true. She could move a little easier, but I guess she's had kids, and
she couldn't stay on her heels. Well, anyway.
She also might have been drunk. That seems to be a trend.
I got
to
be careful, because Chris Crocker's going to call me and say, "Leave Britney alone."
At the end of the show, we get everybody to come on and they say goodnight. We should get them to all say, "Leave someone, leave Leo alone.
Leave Leo alone." Apparently, whoever this is, Chris Crocker was on Jimmy Kimmel.
Oh, yes.
Jimmy
I heard
Kimmel,
about this.
Kimmel's show. Well, let me see. I don't know if I could play a little bit of this.
On YouTube?
Yeah, my very first video got 8 million views. So
it did?
Yeah.
Wow. What was that one about?
It was me confronting people in my hometown, giving them a piece of my mind, just like I'm about to give Sarah Silverman.
Oh, really? You're going around confronting people?
Yeah, that's what I do best. I'm the queen of complaining.
All right. Well,
I don't know. I just don't know. Anyway, I have to say the parodies may have brought this thing, some real life to it.
I know. It's so funny, because I was talking to some people from work and I said, you know what? This is why television is in trouble, because there's no way any TV executives would have ever have thought, once a fan went on to a television show and said, "Hey, leave Britney alone," that there would be a place for hundreds or thousands of people to do these parodies and then just watch them over and over again.
Here's the one on your – this is from AmberMack.com, the OJ. The OJ. He's in bed, though. He's not –
making people make fun of OJ after all he's been through.
All right, we get the idea.
That's too funny.
You got to see the video to really. It's audio wise, it's probably not that great. Not that great. But it's going to be. Don't you think that'll be a catchphrase for the ages? Leave Britney alone.
It really will be. I think that is never going to leave us. Unfortunately, there's going to be.
You think Britney called Chris? Say thank you for your support.
Maybe they'll hook up.
Oh. Kevin Federline was bad enough. So we should have cake today, because this is the 25th anniversary of the Smiley.
Yes, this past week was the anniversary. It was a professor at Carnegie Mellon. I'm sure you've heard news about this. But the little smiley face where you do with a colon and a dash and a rounded bracket, it turned 25. So kind of some fun news.
You use this smiley face, I think.
I use the smiley face a lot. I'm a big fan of the smiley face. But I'm a bigger fan of this video, which I'm hoping that we can play. It's emoticon suicide on YouTube. And the only reason that I found this is because I was doing some research into the smiley face just to see if anyone had done any happy birthday videos for the smiley face. And I found the emoticon suicide video on YouTube. And it's probably one of the funniest things that I've ever seen.
This is, here we go. This is from OOVOO.com. And let's listen.
Hello, Internet. We wanted to share this moment with you because, well, basically, this is all your fault. We've tried to be there for you, to represent you when you needed us. There was even a time when you seemed to like us, when things were simpler and we were just open parentheses and semicolons. Now you all use video chat devices like this one. It's just another nail in our coffin.
We're already dead!
Okay, guys, we agreed not to lose our dignity. They'll never take that from us. So we have decided to share with you all, you fickle web users, our final act of despair. Elaine?
She jumped into a bathtub with a toaster. She's a sad face. Now she's gone.
It gets pretty gross from here, Leo. You don't have to play the rest of it.
It gets worse? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Suicide of the Emoticons. Oh, my gosh. You're right. I'm just fast forward. Oh.
It gets pretty disgusting, but... Interesting. But what's more interesting is I would love to know who had the time to create that video of the emoticons turning them into cartoon characters committing suicide. You got to wonder. Wow.
So what's your favorite? I think you use the P a lot, the colon dash P.
Yeah, that's kind of like sticking out your tongue at someone.
Yeah,
I'm a fan of that one. I do use just the regular old smiley a lot, though. I probably overuse it.
Do you use the dash or not? Because there's some debate over whether you use the dash or not.
I use the dash.
You do.
Every smiley needs a nose.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think it looks a little squinched if you don't use the dash. But
yeah,
we talked about it on Twit this week, and Dvorak is of the opinion that it saves bandwidth not to use the dash.
Whoa.
He says 30% bandwidth savings is significant.
Really?
Yeah.
I never thought of that.
He was defending the smiley face. He said, you know, you need it because if you don't have it... How are you going to express, you know, that this is, we're just joking with you. We're fooling around.
Yeah, I think all sort of emails or text messages really need that context. And what's neat is I did a story this week about the smiley face turning 25, and I actually printed out the smiley face on a piece of paper and clipped it to a clipboard and went around and asked people, you know, hey, do you recognize this face just for fun? And it was funny because afterwards I thought it's kind of interesting because it is really a universal symbol right now in conveying something that is usually a positive thing that you could probably go to many, many countries and show people this and they'd be like, they'd smile, you know. It's a happy little thought.
Leave the smiley face alone.
Leave the smiley face alone. Leave the emoticons alone.
I use them because it's a very convenient shorthand way of saying, you know, I'm just messing with you, or I don't mean this really seriously, or I'm sorry to be insulting, but that's the way it is, that kind of thing.
I use them sometimes too when I'm writing a firm email and I want to, you know, soften make it nice at the end. Yeah.
That explains why I see you, so many of your emails to me have that on there.
I'm not writing you any
chastising
firm
me
email.
And you just want to soften the blow. I understand.
Never.
I understand.
Never.
We're going to open the phones a little later on, and we want to encourage you. One of the things you could talk about besides giving us links maybe is what smiley faces you like to use.
That would be good.
Yeah.
I also wouldn't mind if we're going to talk about this a little bit later in links, but there was this big controversy last week because Prince made YouTube remove all of his videos that had any of his songs in it. It would be interesting to see what people think of that as well in terms of music. And also Trent Reznor, the lead singer of Nine Inch Nails, went online just a few days after that. He was in a concert, and at the concert he said people should steal his music because he hates his record label and he thinks they're ripping people off. So that's also a good topic of conversation.
I think Nine Inch Nails is great. For instance, one of the things they've done is they've put a number of their songs up in GarageBand format so you could mess with it and remix it. We interviewed Chris Rentz from Nine Inch Nails. He's very tech savvy. He's the drummer. And he did video game music, famously for Alice, that incredible Alice video game. And he's very, I mean, they're very savvy. I like Nine Inch Nails.
Yeah.
You know who else is savvy? Whoever's managing Bob Dylan's career.
Oh, this is actually very cool. This is a very cool Facebook application that Bob Dylan's, I guess, record label has put out. And I came across it on facereviews.com, which is a site that has Facebook application reviews. And it's a very cool little application that allows you to put in, I think, 10 words. And then you see those words in a Bob Dylan song. I think it's Subterranean
Homesick Blues. Famous video. This is before there were music videos. Dylan in a Greenwich Village side street. This was really early days. This is in the mid-60s. I don't even know where it would have shown. I mean, you wouldn't show it on TV. And he's holding, you know, cue cards. And the lyrics of the song, Subterranean Homesick Blues, are going by. As he's singing them, he's doing the cue card. It was actually one of the best music videos of all time. And it was created in the mid-60s.
Amazing.
And now, so what are they doing with this?
So what you can do is you can add the application on your Facebook account, and then as soon as you add it, you have the option to go in and put in 10 words. And so I wrote a phrase, for example, on my Facebook account this afternoon when I added it, where I said, Amber Mac continues to battle the pink robots today. And so it's kind of a little sentence. And then what happens is when they actually play Subterranean Homesick Blues and play the video on your Facebook account, instead of Bob Dylan holding up the words to the song, he holds up the words to whatever words you have put into the application, and so you can kind of customize the video. Exactly, 10 words. And then at the end, it sort of tells it has a little ad kind of, that's just a little message that said that Bob Dylan's new album, Our Greatest Hits, is launching on October 1st. But what an amazing little viral campaign.
That's brilliant.
It's just fantastic.
Should I play this? Which one should I play here? It sounds like there's somebody talking on it. I don't know.
This is Rodney Rumford.
No, there, I think for the Facebook application, it's really just the song.
Today we're going to talk about the Bob Dylan Facebook application, which allows you to create...
This is Rodney doing his review of
it. Yeah.
All right. I wonder where I can find... So it's the song. It's Subterranean Homesick Blues just playing.
It's just a song.
I want to put this on my page. I'll tell you what. I'll go to your page and play it off your page.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. That's easy enough. I have to remember where you are. You know, that's one of the weird things about Facebook is it doesn't really lend itself to, it's not like myspace.com/AmberMac.
I know, you got to get into Facebook and search Amber. I think I'm under Amber Mac, actually.
I just go to my friends. You're one of my friends. How many friends do you have on Facebook now? Have you run up against the 5,000 limit?
No, I'm pushing about, I think I have almost 3,000, but not the 5,000 limit yet. Yes. Someone actually wrote me and said Robert Scoble had 5,000.
Yeah, Scobel, of course, who's a complete Facebook slut. He's actually a social network slut. He says yes to everything. And he's run up against it. So now, you know, and he, of course, he gets great mileage out of it. And now he's saying, now I have to decide who to put on or who not. Okay, now here's a special message from Bob on Amber's page. And it's your ID number 507-398-501. Oh, yeah, so it's the full song.
Yep.
And then it says Amber. It really looks like it's real, too, which is cool.
John is in a basement mixing up the medicine.
Matt,
I'm on a pavement thinking about the government.
Battling.
The man in a trench coat, bad job laid off. Said
robots.
You got a bad call. Get paid off. Look out.
Second.
It's something you did. God knows
time.
When, but you're doing it again. You better duck down.
They do this really well today.
A man in a
and then it's an ad.
In a pig pen.
Wow. $11
bill.
What a great idea.
You only got.
What a great
way to promote an album from a musician. I mean, just a really, really clever thing to do because, I mean, I love Bob Dylan. I actually took a course in university called Bob Dylan and Literature of the 60s, which was lots of fun.
Wow.
And I would never have really known about his new album, but now it's something I want to go out and get.
Yeah. Brilliant. And contrast that to Prince, you know,
yes.
Pulling everything off. This is the way to use these kinds of... things, not to shut it down, but to use it, make it work for you. Be a little creative.
You have to be a little more creative and innovative and a little more clever. And I think it's very cool that they've done this. And I was really sad to see Prince actually get all of those videos taken off of YouTube, because I thought, of all people, he was one of the advocates, I remember, just a few years ago, who wanted his music online and
he gave away his album
thing.
In England, you know. And yeah, I don't, you know, it may not be him, it may be his label, I don't know.
It's very interesting. But this little viral campaign on Facebook for the Bob Dylan album, it reminds me a lot of the Dexter campaign, the idea that you can input your own words and then you turn it viral.
I think this is just the beginning. We're going to see a lot of these things, aren't we?
I think so, too.
Yeah.
And Leo, I put this at the end of my links, but I should probably just mention it now because we were talking about Dexter. I have a confession to make.
Uh-oh.
Yes, the Dexter serial email that you had sent to me, which was customized with my name, terrified me to death, and I refused to ever watch Dexter, and I thought it was disgusting.
Yes.
Well, something compelled me to want to watch Dexter because someone at work said, you know what, Amber, I think that you would really like the show because Dexter's a really good character. Even though he kills people, he does it because those people have harmed other people.
Right. He's a good serial killer.
Yeah, he's kind of like, you know, modern day serial killing Robin Hood. And and so So I said, okay, I'm going to go and we'll you know, get some of the videos. And now I am all the way to disc three of
You're
the
kidding.
First season.
You loved it.
I have been up every single night this week till probably at least 1 or 1:30 in the morning watching Dexter. There's two episodes left to watch tonight, and that's absolutely it. And I'm hooked. I can't. There's some really gory scenes, which I almost can't watch.
Right.
But it's so funny, and it's the character from 6 Feet Under, which was one of my favorite series.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love him. So I have a little confession to make. I'm hooked on Dexter now.
Well, you know, Showtime bought ad time on Twitter about a year ago to promote Dexter. We actually had Dexter ads. I don't think we had them on Inside the Net, but we had them on some of the other shows. So, but I've never seen it, so I will have to watch it.
Yeah, it's a little addictive, I have to admit.
I don't watch TV live anymore. I just watch it on the DVDs or download it or watch it on iTunes. You know, because it's the same thing with YouTube. You don't need to watch the stuff live. Wait till everybody tells you what's good, and then you can watch.
Yeah. Why would you ever waste your time?
Exactly. There's too much bad stuff to waste your time watching it. Just wait till somebody tells you.
Exactly.
Hey, I want to remind people, by the way, that we are sponsored by Audible. And hey, you know, there's something kind of interesting going on. Talk about online marketing that I think is kind of cool. Normally, we recommend an Audible book, but Audible has done this. It's actually their, I think it's a special event. It's their first Audible commissioned book, audiobook.
Mm.
And we're getting kind of a lead on it because it comes out today on the 25th. Not today as we record this, but today as the podcast comes out. If you go to audible.com, you'll see a banner at the top of the page. It is called the Chopin Project. But the neat idea is it's a thriller written by 25 different, is it 25? No, 15 different thriller writers. One chapter after the other. It starts with Jeffrey Deaver. You'll recognize the names if you love thrillers. Read by Alfred Molina, who is incredible. And I just think it's a very exciting idea. Now, you can listen to the first chapter streaming on the website, but Twit listeners get a special deal. Whether or not you're already an Audible customer, you might have already taken advantage of the special Twit deal, you know, audible.com/night, N-I-G-H-T. But you can actually download the first chapter and put it on a device so you can actually listen. And they're going to offer a chapter a week, I think. But the first one's free. Isn't that clever? So go to audible.com/freechapter. That is a URL only being, we're the only ones who know about it. Well, you could tell your friends. audible.com/freechapter. And then whether or not you're a member, you could download it, put it on your iPod, burn it on a CD, whatever. And then if you want to get the whole novel, if you haven't yet taken advantage of our deal, audible.com/night, you can get that book credit and purchase the whole book. If you're an existing Audible customer, of course, you get the full book using, it's a credit. It's a single credit, your monthly credit. So this is very cool. audible.com/freechapter. It's a sneak peek for Twit listeners. And you're the only ones who get this. We really thank Audible for being a part of the show. I'm a big Audible fan. In fact, most of the Twits are. We all listen to audiobooks. And Audible is the easiest, most convenient way to do it. You can play it back on your computer, on almost any device. It supports, I think, 135 different devices, including all the iPods. It'll work on your new unlocked iPhone, Amber.
Oh, yes.
We'll talk about that in a second. And of course, you can burn CDs, too. So audible.com/night, N-I-G-H-T, if you want to join Audible, if you want to listen to this first chapter and download it absolutely free, audible.com/freechapter. That's all one word, lowercase. We thank Audible so much for their support. Yeah, I have this unlocked iPhone. We've talked about this a little bit. And I think the best way to test it would be to bring it to Vancouver on Thursday.
Yes.
Give it to you, and you could see, you know, and you understand that at some point, Apple may do something that makes it stop working.
Yes, I understand that. That would be a very sad day, but I'm excited.
I think
to
we
use
can
it.
Keep it working. This is the part of the experiment: is how long can you keep using it on the Rogers Network?
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. But I just, you know, I've played around with the iPhones a few times, just knowing a couple people in Toronto who have them, and I
great.
Love the interface. It's just
well,
so
and it's
slick.
The greatest iPod. I mean, it really is a good iPod. So
yeah.
I will bring it up on Thursday. Let's explain why I'm going up Thursday.
Yes, we are going to have a little reunion. It's been almost a year since we've seen each other, Leo, which is quite a long time considering we used to spend a lot of time together.
Yeah.
And we will be doing an event with Future Shop and also Todd Maffin, who's a tech journalist in Canada. He'll be moderating, and we are debating LCD versus plasma, but we should really call it a discussion. It's at a Future Shop store for an hour in Vancouver.
It's going to be fun.
But I think it's going to be really fun.
Now, there's only about 30 seats in the store, so I asked them, it's first come, first serve. So it's the store across the bridge on Broadway. I think it's 1740 Broadway. We have links on our pages. But there are 1,000 seats online.
Yes, which is exciting.
So you can go, you can watch this. It'll be 11:30 to 12:30 Thursday Pacific time, 11:30 a.m. It's in the daytime. I guess you could watch it at work during lunch or whatever. 11:30 to 12:30 a.m. p.m. On Thursday the 27th, and it's at futureshop.ca, but you have to go now and register if you want to see that, because there's only 1,000 seats.
I know, not too many. And, well, I'm sure we'll get some people show up to the store, although we're trying not to promote that. But
I'm sure we're going to get a lot of people showing up at the store. And I should really warn you, it's 30 seats in the store. First come, first serve. So get there early. That'll be fun. And they told us that if it's a success, we may do more of these around Canada. So maybe we'll be going to Toronto or Montreal. Or I would like to do that.
I would love to do that. I'm so excited. Yeah. It's a little break during my week, even though I fly out on Wednesday and come back on Thursday.
Oh, I know. That's a long way to go for one day. Wow.
It's all worth it, though. I think it will be fantastic. So we'll have to have a little chit-chat before we have our big debate, Leo.
Yeah, you know, because have you been doing research? Have you been preparing for this?
I did a little bit of research. I do in researching things a lot now is that I dabble in my research. Instead of cramming at the end every day,
I
looked a little bit today and, you know, got some ideas from CNET and other websites. And so I'm slowly kind of just compiling some thoughts on things.
The pressure's on now.
It's very good.
I better come up with some good stuff.
This is when I whisper to all the fans to send me all the points they can find on LCD versus plasma. And I'm on the LCD
plasma,
side.
Send me plasma information. Well, you have an LCD and I have a plasma. So there you go. It'll be perfect. And then Todd is there to keep her from hitting me with a canoe oar.
Yes.
She's going to bring the canoe oar again.
That's why if you go to Leo's blog, you'll see that he has a photo of us from the Call for Help set. You know, why am I wearing a life jacket and why am I hitting you with an oar? I'm still
It was a promo for something. I don't remember what.
What, fishing gear?
I don't know. It doesn't make any sense, does it?
It doesn't.
I looked at that picture and I thought, what is that all about?
It wasn't Halloween because I had a pink wig on every year. So
yeah, no, you wore that little hooker outfit that you used to.
Oh, whoa! I was not a hooker, Leo.
What were you?
I was a go-go girl.
Oh, a go-go girl. Okay. It was the little sequin mini dress and the pink wig and the go-go boots. Oh, I should have known from the go-go boots.
The go-go boots, exactly.
That was the giveaway. Yeah.
This one, I'm sure. Most people thought what you thought.
No, I knew exactly what you were. I was teasing you. This one, I think we were doing a promo for like an outdoors day or something like that.
Interesting.
Yeah, because I'm wearing a vest and a Mountie hat. Credit to Sean Carruthers for that picture, by the way.
You know, Sean took so many photos when we were doing Call for Help together, and it's funny. I go on Flickr every now and again and look at some of them, and he really documented the entire time. So
yeah, it's really fun. It's very nostalgic looking at those.
Yeah, it's fun.
I was looking for a picture of you beating on me, and actually, it turns out there's quite a few.
I was a little violent.
It was just the first one I found.
Mostly with Andy Walker, though, I have to say.
Oh, here it was. You used to be really beat on him. So here it is. It's outdoor high-tech gear. It was outdoor high-tech gear day.
Yeah. Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah, right.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I think back just to, this is a bit of a segue and then we can get back to the links. But when we were doing Call for Help and I just started, there was always this sort of competitive thing between me and Andy Walker, who's a tech journalist in Canada. And he was on Call for Help for a year. And I remember for the first 6 months going in and between shows, because we did 4 1-hour shows a day, I remember competing against him in push-ups. And
yes.
I wouldn't do girl push-ups. I would do guy push-ups.
And you would beat him every time.
I feel that it was so psychotic of me. Like, what type of girl does that?
No, you're tough. You're tough. You know what it was? I think it was like I was the dad and you were the two kids competing for my attention.
I think so.
I think that's really what it was.
Yeah, it was fun.
Guess who won?
Yeah. I love Andy. Yeah, me
wonderful
too.
Fella. The Wilhelm. Let's get back to our screams. This is a compilation of screams.
Yeah, I just bought the new Wired magazine, and I'm liking Wired more and more all the time. I'm finding they have some really interesting stuff. And when I was reading it today, I found an article about this scream. I guess all audio engineers know about this, especially some of the engineers in Hollywood who work on big budget films. And it's a scream that I guess is kind of played over and over again in a bunch of different movies.
It's a famous scream.
Yeah, and then I went onto YouTube, and someone has compiled an actual little video of where the scream is in all these different movies, from Star Wars movies, and the list kind of goes on.
This reminds me of a YouTube video we were talking about on Mac Break Weekly this week that is a famous drum loop. And it's a really interesting video where, and there's nothing to look at, it's just a turntable going around, but the guy tells you about this drum loop and shows you from the 70s on up to the present day how this drum loop has been used in many very famous songs. You'd recognize the loop. And I guess the scream is like that. Shall I play it?
Yeah, let's do it.
This is the Wilhelm scream.
Wilhelm!
Yeah, I'll just fill my pipe.
This is from The Charge of Feather River, 1953. Ah! There's the scream. Oh, that wasn't very... You know, it's not very believable.
When you're paying attention to it.
It really stands out. This is them. 1954. Oh my gosh. It really is distinctive, isn't it?
I know.
This is all them. They use it not just once. Okay, this is Star Wars. That's a stormtrooper falling off the thing. Raiders of the Lost Ark. Return of the Jedi. Temple of Doom.
Isn't it funny?
Howard the Duck, another Lucas. What I want to know is who went through all this. Willow.
I don't know. I need to read more about it. Like I said, there was just a tiny little article about it in Wired.
I guess if you hear the scream, it's not hard to find. It just goes on and on and on. This is Young Indiana Jones, The Trenches of Hell.
I know.
Batman Returns. Reservoir Dogs. Aladdin? Okay, that's amazing.
You
can't get away with this stuff anymore. It used to be you could get away with this stuff. Now there is going to be some obsessive fan with access to YouTube and a video editor, and there's nothing you can get away with anymore.
I know. You know what I loved about it, though, just reading about it, is that there's so many sort of obscure little things that people do among different professions that you would never, ever learn about. And, you know, to be able to read about something like this and knowing nothing about audio engineering or what people, you know, who work on movies, what they're really into as far as producing screams, it's like this obscure little slice of life that you get to learn about because YouTube kind of brings it to the forefront.
I think we've all become now trivia obsessed, obsessive compulsive nuts.
Yes,
we've all got it.
We're crazy.
50,000 people have. Is that how many people saw that? They're trivia nuts. Dane says it's 53,297 people actually are the trivia nuts now. He's just making that up.
Whoa.
He's pretending to be a trivia nut. Definitely 50,000. Definitely 50,000.
He's a wannabe trivia nut.
This is the video. It's called the Amen Break, the world's most important 6-second drum loop.
Ooh.
And let me see if I can play. This is the video itself, but let me see if I can. He talks for a little while before I get to the. Let me get to the loop. I'm not going to be able to. But it's another one of those cases where it's just, you know, the same thing used in 100 different ways.
I know.
Pretty
it's so
amazing.
Interesting.
Yeah.
It is amazing.
Yeah.
One other thing that I want to mention, just if you're still looking for that, is on Boing Boing, they had this image that describes why net neutrality is important. So the idea that you're fighting for a neutral internet and you're not letting the big ISPs charge in terms of having a tiered service. So they had this image on Boing Boing that I think is fantastic. I don't know where they got it from, but it talks about just a little kind of funny video or funny image that has basic internet service at $29.99, and that means that you can access sites like eBay, MSN, NBC, and 60 other websites. But if you pay $39.99, you can get Google and Wikipedia and Yahoo and 200 more websites. And at $49.99, you have the Blogger Internet Service High Speed Special, where you can get YouTube and Blogger and MySpace at $50 plus 2,000 more websites. So the idea is a tiered system that allows you faster access to certain websites versus just having the same type of access to all websites. So it was a really clever way, I think, of describing why it's important to think about net neutrality. And I know it's kind of an obscure idea that a lot of people don't necessarily understand.
This brings it home, though.
It really hits home when you see this picture. So if people want to know more about net neutrality, maybe check out Boing Boing and find, I think it was Cory Doctorow who posted it.
Yeah.
And just take a look at the picture, because I think it kind of pulls it all together. Instead of reading long entries about net neutrality, you just see it right there and you think, oh my gosh, I'm going to be charged more to access certain websites. So I don't really have the same type of freedom on the internet. So it was a very neat way to display it.
What it's going to remind you of and what it's based on is, of course, how cable companies sell cable service, how they sell channels, or how DirecTV or the satellite, how they sell channels. You know, you pay a little more, you get a few more channels, and the internet is not that, and that's really the point. Although, because we often are getting our internet service from cable companies and people who like that model, I guarantee you that's what Comcast and Verizon and all these other companies would like to do.
Oh, definitely.
Fortunately, I don't think it's going to happen. If they did that, the rebellion, it's too late. Don't you think the genie's out of the bottle? We know what's out there.
I'm very optimistic that they won't try to do that, but I'm sure there's a lot of pressure, and hopefully it won't happen. I hope that a lot of the organizations that are fighting for net neutrality are still strong enough and have enough movement to kind of keep the ISPs at bay.
Right. Moving along to Trent Reznor. We already did Trent Reznor. Do you want to hear him say steal it?
Well, he does swear in this a little bit.
Oh, we'll leave it out. But it's a YouTube video. We'll put a link in the show notes so you can go.
Yeah. So I just have one other link before we take a few calls for the last 15 minutes of the show. And this is from a fan. He sent a link to his site, which is thealbumproject.com. And it's a place where he reviews music. So he thought he'd send us a link to the website. I'm just trying to find his name here because I don't think I cut it into the little email that I posted you, Leo. But you should check out thealbumproject.net, and it's from Tyler. And he also mentioned in the email that we should listen to some Swedish offbeat electronic pop band, and we should listen to the song Spring. So it reminds me of our Swedish past together.
It does. Well, let me find it here.
I know.
Is it on? It's on here? Spring?
It should be on thealbumproject.net.
Yes, but I mean, did you give me a link to the song or just?
I think it's, for some reason, I thought it was on the homepage,
right on
but
the front?
I did listen to it. So I'll take a peek here as well. I'll try to find it if you want to take some callers, if you can't find it right away.
So where are these records coming from? They don't mind if you put these up on the site?
I didn't really ask a lot of questions.
that's one thing that's happening on Pounce more and more is, I'm noticing people are putting, of course, it's to their friends. It's not globally, but they're putting up cuts from bootlegs and unusual live recordings and stuff. And I have to say, I'm loving it. And if you're an artist, you should really promote it.
Yeah.
I mean, they have a Neil Young cut from a live concert somebody put up. And I just loved it. And it just made me want to buy more Neil Young music, listen to more Neil Young music. It doesn't hurt the business. In fact, it's good for business. It's promotional, right?
I totally agree with you. That's one of the things on Pounce. I find myself, I'm not posting as much to Pounce at all, but when I do get an email that includes some links to music, that's something that I totally check out if anyone's posted songs.
You bet.
So it's a lot more fun. I can't find the link right now.
I got it. It's Spring. It's Mike Downey, and he's Swedish, or it's from Stockholm anyway, which I think is still in Sweden. And it's electronica, huh? You like this because you just got back from a Bjork concert, and it's just kind of suddenly you're into this stuff, right?
A little bit, yeah.
Spring is a pop song about the season of renewal in a dirty, lonely city. I didn't hear that. A little catch.
catchy, I gotta admit.
It would be even more catchy if it were spring.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's winter has come, and I'm bummed out.
Fall has come. That's pretty much it for the links. There was a lot today.
There were, and I love it. And you can always do more links. We don't have that many calls, so I think that's fine. I do want to make one mention that a good friend of the show, a guy who's in the chat room every single night, is not here tonight because he's going to the hospital tomorrow for a pacemaker. It's his fifth heart surgery. Avila Fain, we talk to him all the time on the show. I know you know who he is. And
yep.
Avila, we're with you. We're thinking about you. We wish you all the best. Recover soon, and we look forward to getting you back in the chat room and on the show soon. Soon.
Definitely.
Soon, my man. So let's talk to P. Dvek. That's Alex Dvek, who lives in Nebraska, right?
Queens, New York.
I'll get it right someday. Hello, Alex. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you, too?
Welcome to Net at Night.
Hi, Alex.
Thank you.
What's Avila Fain's real name? I can never remember. Do you remember?
I cannot remember either. I know everybody by their handle.
Yeah, we know him by his handle. That's what happens with a handle. That becomes who you are. Many people don't realize Amber's real name is Rose, but we call her Amber Mack, and so.
Exactly.
Hey, I started a Scrabble game with you, by the way, on Facebook. Did you see that, Amber?
I know. I have.
Did you see what the first word was?
No.
Well, you got to look at what I played as the first word. I thought it was quite clever.
Oh, I'm going to have to look.
Now you have to look.
I'm going
to
have to look.
Go to Facebook because I played a good first word. So, Alex, what's up these days?
Nothing. I just wanted to tell you what you said on the radio show about the ISPs taxing, putting the internet tax.
Oh, yeah. We didn't mention that on this show, but I talked about it today on the radio show, Amber. In the U.S., the internet tax moratorium runs out in a month. And ISPs may be forced to, or be allowed to, I should say, tax internet access in the U.S. Which,
and I just got a letter from Verizon saying that I have to pay, I think, $20 more a month.
Isn't that nice?
For my internet bandwidth.
Isn't that nice?
Oh, no.
Boy, I tell you, we got to do something about this. We already, in Canada, this is true, too. In fact, it's even worse in Canada. We pay way too much for internet access. And I think it's true in Australia as well. It's, you know, there are places like Scandinavia and Asia, perhaps because it's government underwritten, I'm not sure, but where they get very high speeds for much less than we pay.
I think that's another thing I saw in Wired. I think it was the September issue. They had a map of internet prices all across the world. And I think Sweden was one of the least expensive places.
And they get 100 megabits. I mean, they get great, you know. Just not right.
Japan. Well,
Japan, too. Yeah. I'm sorry about that, Alex. I hope that they don't get to do that. The problem is you probably don't have a lot of choices, do you?
No.
Where else are you going to go? You got a cable company and you got the phone company. And that's pretty much it. And they're in cahoots. They're not going to, you know, they're very carefully watching what the other guy does. And if the other guy raises the price $20, you can bet they're going to raise the price $20.
Fiber, too. So.
Oh, well, now that's different. You got offered Fios from them?
Yeah.
So do you have Fios now?
Yeah, now I have Fios.
Oh, I see. They want to raise the price on Fios.
On Fios.
Oh,
too.
They got you hooked to the high speed stuff, the good stuff. you've tasted the good stuff. Now they know they got you. That is mean. That is cold.
It's not good.
That is cold. Let's say hi to Brad. He is known as Listrophy. Hey, Brad.
Hey, how you doing?
I forgot to ask Alex if he uses smileys. Do you use smileys, Brad?
I do indeed. it's going to sound really corny, but sometimes I'll sign my emails off, colon B.
Colon B, I like that.
That's all right.
Because that's your initial.
Yep.
And you're sticking your tongue out, too.
Exactly.
So you prefer the B to the P?
Well...
for obvious reasons. If I did a colon L, people would just think I didn't care. Colon A looks like you've got a big pointy nose.
Yeah, that's not good. Not making any friends that way.
If you did colon AM, you'd look like you had a big pointy nose, and never mind.
Whoa.
So, I'm sorry. what can we do for you, Brad?
Well, just a quick note about last time I called in, I asked you about what I can do about my cable company just not being very nice to all the consumers in my city.
Yeah, well, welcome to the club.
Yeah, so I called up my cable board administrator for the city, and asked him, is the monthly cable board meeting happening this month? And he said, actually, we think we did a lot over the summer, so we're not going to meet this month.
Oh, even worse. They don't want any troublemakers talking to the cable company or maybe convincing city officials that there's a better way to go. You know, if I were you, I'd start some rabble-rousing. What city do you live in?
Madison, Wisconsin.
I think it's time to start talking to the voters of Madison. Is it the city council that made that decision?
To not have the meeting?
Yeah.
I think it was just the guy in charge of the cable board.
Well, maybe the city council ought to have something to do with this and get involved. Remember that, and as we talked about the other day, in Madison and every other city in the U.S., I don't know how it works in Canada, but every other city in the U.S., a cable company is in there by a local franchise. They have a contract with the local civic government, and that contract is the only thing that gives them that monopoly in that town. When's your contract run? Pretty soon?
I really can't tell from any of the documents.
Yeah, of course not. They don't want you to think about choice or anything like that. Well, Brad, good luck. That's just another example. I think I'm starting to sound like a commie, aren't I?
You should move to Canada.
I should move to Canada, the land of socialism.
Exactly.
One more call before we wrap it up. It's Daniel. Where are you calling from, Daniel?
San Mateo, California.
Hey, just down the road. San Mateo. Yeah. Yep. Are you sad about Barry Bonds leaving the Giants?
Of course I am.
Isn't that terrible? The Giants did not re-up with Barry Bonds, and so he's going to move on to some other place. But we kind of used him up. We got all the records. Squeezed him dry.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's good.
Are you a baseball fan? You live right down the road from the ballpark.
Yeah, I am a huge baseball fan.
How do I know that? My radar is so good. Let me ask you another question, Daniel. Where will you be? Where will you be midnight Monday night?
I am actually going to be at the Halo 3 pre-launch party with Robert Scoble, who interviewed me.
Wow.
So I did not know that. Dane, was I doing any research? No, I pulled that right out of my, and I got it. I nailed it. Baseball fan and Halo 3 pre-launch party. So Scoble gave you this as a prize?
Well, on his blog, he had a thing where the first 40 people who comment on a post get an invitation, and I was the first one.
I'm so jealous.
Now,
wait a minute. Now, and I have to tell you, Daniel, I did not go to your blog. But now I've gone to his blog, and the number two post is Barry Bonds to leave the Giants.
Oh my goodness!
So I guess I was it was just my radar there. I did not check the blog first.
I have to ask you how old you are, actually.
I'm 14.
Okay.
So is your mom okay with you playing? He's a sophomore in high school. Is your mom okay with you playing Halo 3?
I'm not much of a gamer, actually.
Oh, you just want to be part of the fun.
Yeah, since people don't really accept me because of my age, this is kind of the first one that I'm actually allowed to go to.
You do podcasts, I hear.
Yep, Apple Universe.
It's called Apple Universe. Well, I'm gonna have to check this out. Wow!
I actually emailed you about it.
Oh, you're that Daniel.
Yeah.
You asked me for an interview, and I blew you off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I got an email from you as well.
Daniel's very enterprising.
Yeah.
Daniel, I'll do an interview. Just for that, I'll do the interview.
So will I. That's amazing.
Thank you very much.
We'll work it out.
Put a face to the name.
Well, I'm just so busy. I kind of am automatically turning down interviews these days. But all right, I'll do it. I'll do it. Daniel is a sophomore at high school. He's in the jazz ensemble and the wind ensemble. You play the drums in the wind ensemble?
Yep.
Well, I don't get that. Do you play them really fast so there's some wind going on or what?
Well, the wind ensemble is basically a combination of horns, some reeds, and then a percussion instrument.
Somebody's got to give it a rhythm. My God, that makes sense. He's the co-president of the technology club, the Mouse Squad. This is good. Daniel, I'm impressed. So what can we do for you today?
Thank you very much. So as you know, I have my podcast called Apple Universe.
Smart guy. And he's plugging it right there.
A service called mypodcast.com, which is free.
Oh, that's cool. I didn't know about that one.
And I want to take all my content and put it onto a self-hosted domain.
Well, you could do that, but remember, you'll have to pay the bandwidth if a lot of people start downloading it. You can still have links to it, as you do on your blog. You can link to mypodcast.com, right? You don't have to send people to that website. You could just link to the file there, right?
Yeah, but I have 55 episodes already.
Wow.
Wow.
So it's kind of hard to move all of that over onto a self-hosted domain.
Right. Because you'd have to download it first and then upload it. Well, I would ask mypodcast.com if they have FTP access. If they do, very often you can use an FTP program to transfer it from one site to the other without downloading it first. And since both sites are on the internet on a much higher speed connection to the internet than you have, that probably happens pretty quickly. In any event, it's certainly a lot easier. You just do it and you walk away from it. So ask mypodcast.com, is there a way I can do FTP to my storage? And if you can, then you shouldn't have any trouble using an FTP client doing kind of FTPing one site to the other. I often use if you have Unix terminal access, you can also do it using a program called SCP or even FTPing in from the Unix side. If you have terminal access to either of those sides, that's another way to do it. It'd be a lot easier. Anyway, I'm sorry we got geeky there, but...
no worries.
Let's wrap this sucker up. I'm going to see you on Thursday. I can't wait, Amber MacArthur. We hope we see everybody at futureshop.ca for our seminar. Don't forget that special free chapter from audible.com, audible.com/free chapter. And sign up today at audible.com/NIGHT. Amber Mack is at ambermack.com. That's her blog. And she's on the TV quite a bit with a show called Web Nation. It's at citynews.ca/webnation. Also citynews.ca/international, City News International. And coming soon to a television near you, no doubt. Don't forget Command N, too. How's that going?
Oh, it's great. You know, it's kind of, it just keeps trucking along, and we have lots of fun doing it. So I'm not looking forward to the winter because we shoot outside so much. But
somebody put the video of me trying to keep my footing on the ice last year during that Command N episode.
Oh, that's awesome.
Falling all over the place.
Was fun.
It's on YouTube. Oh, fun for you. I still got a big old bruise on my bottom. Amber MacArthur, thanks so much. Thanks to all of you for joining us. I'm going to open up the lines and ask you all to say, what do we want everybody to say?
Leave Leo alone.
All right, I want everybody to say, oh boy, we're asking for it here. Leave Leo alone.
Leave Leo alone.
Good night, everybody.
Leave Leo alone.
Good night, everybody.
Yeah.